going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Let's talk about the draft.
The Bears made their move, got their guy, and stamped this draft as the Ben Johnson draft.
Yeah, this is definitely a Ben Johnson draft.
So with the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland.
The 2025 NFC North champions.
Oh, boy.
Chicago Bears.
Oh, boy.
Select Luther Burden III. Wide receiver, Missouri.
The greatest franchise in the NFL, the Chicago Bears. Select Ozzie Trapillo, tackle.
The Chicago Bears select Shamar Turner, defensive tackle.
Reuben Hippolyte, the second, linebacker.
Zal Frazier, DB.
Luke Newman, guard, Michigan State.
Kyle Manunga. He's running back for the Rutgers.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
I think all we did this weekend was we might have just turned up the notch just a couple of dials.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, yes, indeed, Mr. Davids. A whole new Bears team. Different team. Different looking team altogether.
Good morning, Molly. Happy Monday. It is not a different team altogether. It
totally
is a
different
team that has improved like most teams do during the draft. The Bears spent the weekend filling in some gaps, maybe making some decisions we weren't expecting them to make, taking a little bit longer to address certain areas. But that's the beauty of this offseason. And you heard Ben Johnson. You heard the man who, with all of the energy, drinking Red Bull all weekend, apparently, that guy is fueled with excitement.
Yep.
Ready to roll.
No doubt.
And proud of the standard that they feel like has been raised at Hallis Hall. And that's what this draft is all about.
Yeah, there's no question about it. They believe that they've added to their scoring power. They certainly believe that. I thought it was really interesting to hear him comment on how Ryan Poles kind of did not stray from the draft board at all.
Did he say my draft board? Or
no, but I felt like while complimenting him, he may have said, you know, you couldn't just get off that draft board for a second and get us some. It was just,
well,
it wasn't an admission,
but it was an interesting
yes
revelation.
Yeah.
Unintentionally. Or it was a hint. I think Saturday we got the sense
yeah
after our show ended and we went home and you saw the way the Bears handled everything and you yeah. were able to look at what happened when in the draft, they were focused on a running back they didn't get until the seventh round. I think that feels like they were targeting certain guys along the way on day three as a running back because we kept on hearing what? This running back class is so deep, so deep. You can wait till day three and get a good one. I think the Bears waited until day three to get a good one. They got a good one in the seventh. We'll talk about him. But I think they planned on getting one earlier than that.
Yeah, and I think that we saw various running backs go off the board and the Bears trade down. And I think that it was one of these situations where the general manager talked about sometimes when you're in the draft, the pockets don't match what you're looking for. He said something along those lines. So the run on different positions did impact whether they stayed where they were. I think twice they traded down.
Yes.
Where you kind of understood why they did so. And I felt both times they could have stood their ground and gotten a player at a position that they really needed. And they chose not to do
so. Well, I think that's a fair way to look at it. I also think when you look at those trade downs, they came after running backs were taking a few steps or spots yes. ahead of the trade down.
Yes.
So that's what I alluded to by saying they went into day three, I think, definitely committed to drafting a running back.
I agree. Yeah.
But they probably did so, if they were to be totally honest about it, much later than they wanted to. And so Kyle Manungai is from Rutgers. He's somebody who went his entire football career without fumbling at Rutgers.
The
Rutgers University.
If I'm not mistaken, it gets the definite article for some reason.
Does it?
No.
But okay.
We just played it, and the woman
yeah.
who announced
oh, yeah.
the pick
okay.
said
that, that's
the
funny.
Rutgers.
She also mispronounced his name, but that's okay.
Well, that's okay.
We all do that from time to time. But he is a player that has a lot of upside. We'll talk about what he is and isn't, but I don't
sure.
think he was the guy that they had sat down before the draft began on Saturday morning and had targeted.
I don't think he's the guy that prevented me from going online and wondering, well, how many running backs are out there? Are there still guys that would Nick Chubb fit with this team? Like, it made me wonder if they still needed a running back, frankly. And that's not a shot at the kid or anyone else.
It didn't make me wonder. It made me know.
Yes, yes.
They can't be done.
And they've come out of a couple of drafts the last couple of years and then signed or traded for a pass rusher. And, you know, you kind of think, well, is running back this year's pass rusher?
I think possibly, but I think you look at that position and you understand
right.
a couple things about it. Number one, it really is a plug-and-play spot, and the veterans that could be available this summer are guys that you could easily not worry about bypassing the OTA portion of the program and plugging in and playing in the preseason. Number
yep.
two, there will be guys like that who fit the bill as far as veterans that you can rely upon to come in and do a serviceable job, maybe even better than that if you can pull off a trade for a guy of some real value. But also number three, Mully, I think that we need to continue to discuss that, or to at least that's going to be a regular thing to go back to, because if the Bears are as good as Ben Johnson makes them sound they're going to be,
mm-hmm.
and they're raising the standards and all of the things, then you have to be honest about what you don't have. And what you don't have right now is a running back tandem that is
yes.
up to what you say your standards are.
Right.
You want to be this dynamic, great offense and the best offense in the NFC North and be this offense that looks like and reminds people what you had at Detroit. You came out of this draft without a running back that you can realistically envision pairing with DeAndre Swift and giving you that 1-2 punch.
I also thought, it occurred to me after listening to some of the things that were said, that it's a pity. I'm going to blame it on Eric Bieniemy. It's a pity that Eric Bieniemy didn't send a text to Ryan Poles identifying a running back that he would like to somehow have out of that draft, because it seemed as if Al Harris did that with a cornerback, and they
went
ahead. they went ahead and took the guy in the fifth round. I mean, I'm just saying, if apparently not every coach got the memo, hey, send in the name of the guy you want me to draft in what round.
Well, I think that was funny because it made me wonder how many assistant coaches text their general managers and say, you know, this guy I saw on tape.
There's a guy. He's long.
You should see.
I think with some work.
Nobody's looking at him. We should look at him. That happens all the time. That's one of those draft days.
Apparently not at the running back position.
It's got to. Yeah. Well, then Bienemy better get a new phone.
Yeah.
Maybe he's using his old phone. He needs to get his contact list updated.
The guy's meant to be a great coach, great motivator. Apparently not a great scout.
That was in reference to with Al Harris being the DB coach. Zay Frazier in the fifth round out of that defensive back factory, Texas San Antonio.
Yeah, yeah. He sent the general manager said he got a text from him in January, was it? Saying, hey, by the way, this kid could be someone we could use. He's long and he's got a good ability, and we could, you know, see him fitting in with what we're doing. He'd probably be there in the fourth or fifth round. And come the fifth round, they went and got him. They also, you found out, they brought him in for a 30 visit. So that's how much that made an impact on Ryan Poles.
Well, the thing of it is, kidding aside, if Al Harris has identified somebody as a project he can work with and somebody with instincts he trusts, you value that. And it's also empowering to your assistant coaches to know that they do have that kind of impact or influence on the draft process. That's never a bad thing for office morale, just your staff morale and those kinds of things. I am very curious. You always wonder, it made me think of, I know this is going way back, and you and I may be guys who, but remember Zach Bowman?
Of course.
Didn't he come from a smaller college?
Didn't he come from a state school? You know, so this guy started this, Frazier started.
I think it's Zay Frazier.
Zay Frazier.
Yeah.
Z-E-H.
Z-A-H.
Z-A-H?
Yes.
Whatever
I'm just saying. No, but it's hard to learn all these new names and pronunciations.
We'll get them down. But he started at Southern Illinois, then went to a junior college, and then wound up at Texas San Antonio. I thought he was from like a state college too. Where was he from?
I'm not sure. He reminds me in terms of his length, and he was somewhat of a fifth-round project when he came in, and he turned out being a very productive cornerback who ended up being an asset to the Bears and had a pretty good career, one that you would not have expected in the fifth round of the 2008 draft for him to have. He played at Nebraska and then New Mexico Military Institute.
Okay. Yeah. Nebraska started it.
But it was also kind of a circuitous route. And you see guys who are fifth-round cornerbacks, and you never know quite what you have. But that's what day three is all about. Day three is all about getting guys Ruben Hippolyte from Maryland, who I don't think that anybody had him on your bingo card or on your list of projected Bears draft picks.
I raised the idea of getting a linebacker and was shot down.
You did. I did shoot it down. Did I say it was a bad idea?
No, but I was told that that's not a position they were looking for, because I was just thinking, you know, it wasn't though.
That's the thing, is like it wasn't until it was. That's the thing about the draft.
Right, but I think when you look at their team and you kind of speculate about how they're going to line up moving forward. Mm-hmm. The thing this kid has is speed. And they talked about him having rocket launchers as opposed to legs, which is,
speed, experience. I think he had 50. Did he play in 50 games in college? These guys with these careers now, that could have been.
Who was the kid? Who was the quarterback who played in 70 games or something? How about that one? Who's the kid they
took? About Tyler Shuck backed up Justin Herbert at Oregon.
Yeah, was it him who played in 50 games?
Might have been.
Or 70 games? I mean, like, I remember when Russ was drafted, one of the things about him is he had played in like 54 games while in college because he stayed, went to Wisconsin after having a career at North Carolina State, I think. It's wild the amount of experience some of these guys have because they're in the league, they're in college for so long. And as we mentioned, the Bears, their first pick in the draft, barely is 21 only by a few weeks.
That made him actually more draftable and appealing.
Yes.
Because that is not an insignificant detail.
No,
I think
isn't.
When you look at the difference between Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren, and you look at the how stylistically they are different tight ends, but they're both outstanding players and will be NFL stars, I think. But Colston Loveland's 2 years younger.
It's really interesting to hear Olin talk about going back and looking at the tape of Loveland and saying that you could see he was injured on tape. There were tons of times where he's wincing or he's grabbing at his shoulder, and that's why they never really used him in line. They used him outside more because that was the only way they could use him because he had this shoulder issue that needed surgery. And it made me feel like the guy is willing to play hurt.
There's no question.
There's no doubt about that.
There's no question about that.
But that also is, to me, that you get a nice gold smiley face sticker because you played hurt, and guys don't do that. And he easily could have shut it down, but he didn't want to, and he didn't do it, and I like that.
He comes across as a young man that would not give that any second thought.
Right.
Because he has a little bit of discomfort, maybe even an injury, or he feels pain, not injury.
Right.
And he'll play through things like that just because this is what you get when you have somebody who comes to your organization knowing how to work. And clearly,
totally
the whole it's fun to talk about where he came from, how small the town is, and that he was branding cattle 2 days before the draft. And those are tremendous stories full of value. But I also think it underscores just how this guy is very nonchalant about he's going to outwork everybody.
Well,
because he always has. When you grow up on a farm like that, when you grow up under a situation where he did, you have really little choice. So you put everything into that. Last year, that tape was impressive because he did play compromised.
Yes.
And and this is what we haven't really spent a lot of time talking about. Michigan wasn't very good.
They didn't have a quarterback. When he had a quarterback, he put up wild numbers. He put up really good numbers a year ago with three different guys playing that position.
And he goes up in some of these highlights, and he just gets the ball and pulls it and gets it away from the defensive backs that just aren't as aggressive as he is at the point of attack. So it's easy to get excited about Colston Loveland and seeing how he fits into an NFL passing game, especially Ben Johnson's.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And, again, they got weaponry, which should add to their ability to score. But I like the way that Ben Johnson basically, everybody under scrutiny. What do you do now? If you're not going to be the featured guy, how do you play? What do you do? We're not going to work to get, with the old, you got to, if you don't block, you don't see the rock.
Who's already, he talking to?
He's talking, I think, to the receiving core. I think to the tight ends, and there are more than one, but there's an obvious one. I think that's what he's saying, is he's putting everyone on notice that you're going to have to.
Everyone should be, especially after this weekend.
I agree.
Because not only did they draft that way, but they spoke that way.
Oh, they did, yeah.
And as far as the draft is concerned, big picture, and we'll get into a lot of it, but it really was surprising. One of the takeaways is that when we go into a draft, we always talk about what the team needs.
Yes.
And certain positions we become fixated on. And I think sometimes our draft lists, and you see these mock drafts and the way the people who cover the team talk about it in terms of the need that exists. I'm really more convinced than ever after this draft that that's not the way at least this regime, maybe all regimes, but not this regime looks at these drafts. They do not go into it with any sort of need-based criteria. It just isn't structured that way. The decisions that were made to pass up positions left tackle in the second round. And I, with due respect to our guy Ozzie Trapillo, I mean, he's a right tackle.
Yeah.
But we go into this draft, we talked all about how they need help at left tackle, running back, and edge rusher. And we spent weeks and months with that as the backdrop to this entire draft. That certainly wasn't the way the Bears approached this.
But as we said when we started out, they still do need those positions.
No doubt about it. That's almost like the one of the biggest takeaways from this draft is that we talked months about what they need. But it's not that hard to figure out. And yet they went into this draft. You'd never know that those were the most pressing needs.
Well, I would argue, David, and it's not a strong argument, but I would say they acted as if they had already addressed all of their needs before the draft began. They acted as if there were no pressing needs and nothing they needed to get done. And it was about adding to their firepower and adding to their point production as opposed to securing that the quarterback's not going to get sacked 68 times. And I don't believe he will be, but that's due to a lot of the changes they're making. And, you know, you listen to what people say and, you know, they're going to be doing a lot of play action. I believe that because that's what they did. They're going to be playing two tight end sets because that's what he did. I think that what we saw in Detroit is the way he's going to try to run this offense. I just wonder if they've got the base of it down in terms of the offensive line, and particularly to hear him say that the left tackle, that the, you know, Braxton Jones won't be available before training camp, but that's really a good thing because it's going to give everybody more opportunity.
There's nothing good about that.
That's
when they lapsed into spin mode.
That's exactly what that was.
And I don't like it when
I agree
when the, whether it's Ryan Poles or Ben Johnson laps into spin mode. And they haven't done it a lot this offseason. I think that's what's been refreshing about the change in coaching regime and all the new assistants. And it's a breath of fresh air up there. And there is a confidence with which they speak. I just believe that this weekend, I'm speaking for myself, but it did not go the way that I expected it to go.
It didn't go.
And it's not necessarily a criticism. It's more of an observation because, look, I think that Luther Burden III is going to be a dynamic playmaker in the NFL.
Right.
His comp is Deebo Samuel. That's crazy. If they got him in the second round, he was the 15th overall player by some draft board. Maybe that's your running back. And maybe that's your weapon. Because we look at it in a traditional sense. We look at it a 1-2 punch with Gibbs and Montgomery. Ben Johnson may be looking at this. They got their 1-2 punch this weekend. It was in Loveland and Burden.
All right. Right, yeah. No, I mean, and all I'm saying, I'm not criticizing them, but I am saying that the legitimate position needs we talked about were legitimate position needs and remain legitimate position needs. Now, could you shock the world and have drafted someone that's going to play above what you thought they were? Yeah, of course you could. No question about it. But the reality of the situation is that usually you try to pursue the best at a particular position if you want to improve that position.
Yeah, and they maybe, as we said, tried but were unsuccessful because that's why they traded down some running backs in the fourth round. Scadaboo, they were in a position maybe to think that they were going to target him. The Giants took him off the board.
Yep.
The other guys, the kid from Tennessee was gone.
The two kids from Ohio State went pretty quick.
They went pretty quick within two picks of each other.
Yep.
So the draft is something we'll talk about all day long. We got a great guest list with Wani and Brad Biggs, certainly, and Steve Kasula, the tight ends coach from Michigan, who was in Idaho for Colston Loveland's draft night.
Super cool.
Cubs lost last night, though, Molly. That was very disappointing. The Sox get walked off in Sacramento. That was disappointing. Bad day for baseball. Bad weekend for baseball.
Yeah, both of our local teams losing in the 10th inning. That's never good. but the Cubs, you know, they got a good enough pitching performance that they should have won that game. And it's just unfortunate.
J-Mo was good.
J-Mo was excellent.
J-Mo was outstanding.
He was not the problem.
No, they just, Three hits.
That's it.
So Aaron Nola was good,
too. Aaron Nola was phenomenal.
They got the national television treatment from ESPN. It was interesting to get.
And from Fox the day before.
Fox the day before, yeah. ESPN Sunday night, the only local broadcast, of course, right here with Pat and Ron. And I did have to turn on, I was watching the game, and I wanted to hear how Pat described the last home run, or the near home run.
Oh, right.
That Brian Presley almost gave up in the ninth inning.
Oh, boy.
And just to hear how much anticipation was in his voice and how nervous he sounded. And it was a great call. But Nick Castellanos almost...
Yeah, that was something.
Almost hit it in the basket.
Attack of the X.
But that was a tough game to watch.
It was a tough game. It was a tough game to stay up for, to be honest with you. But
even with PCA mic'd up. They did a nice job with that. I liked PCA mic'd up. He played the role. He does it well. But no hits. Three hits.
Yeah, we've got the pick six. We're going to get into all the stories of the weekend. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot about the draft. It is Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman... Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did you like hearing Bears coach Ben Johnson say the Bears?
We might have just turned up the notch just a couple of dials.
On their team after the NFL draft. Do you like his encouraging competition for plays, especially on the offensive side?
What I'm going to be curious to see is what guys look like when the ball's not in their hands on offense. Okay? Yeah, you're right. We have a lot of weapons. And so how are you going to run your route when you might not be number one in the progression? Okay? How are you going to block for your teammate when he has the ball? Because if you do those things right, then as a coaching staff, we're going to want to get you the ball a little bit more.
Reaction to what you hear from head coach Ben Johnson.
Yeah, you know, I think that it was the Bears added two matchup nightmares with their first two picks in the draft. They got themselves a tight end who can stretch the seam, who is going to be an absolute problem for coordinators that want to match him up against the linebacker or safety. You're going to have to figure out a better way of dealing with that guy, and it's going to be a real problem. And then Luther Burden III, his run after catch ability is fantastic. So if they can get the ball out quickly, get the ball in the hands of these guys, they're going to score more points. That is definitely what they're trying to do. And they've got improved weaponry. There's not a shadow of a doubt. It's going to be really interesting to see how the play action game, how those weapons feed off the play action game, if they can get going in the play action game. You know, it's hardly a complete and balanced kind of thing right now. But man, they did add a couple of more really good weapons to go with DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and some of the things that they've already done. So you got to like that, and you got to appreciate the coach saying that they will be monitoring how everyone does. Because if you got multiple guys that all you got to do is get the ball in their hands and they're going to score, then you better be able to score when that happens, or you're going to lose out on reps.
I hear, again, no block, no rock. I think that's just something that's going to be a T-shirt potentially for the wide receivers. No block, no rock. That's what I'm hearing.
You knew Ben Johnson was excited, because I do think that you don't hear him often kind of the malaprop. But it is turning the notch up a couple dials is actually turning the dial up a couple of notches.
Yes.
So you know he was excited, because even Ben Johnson went kind of full floose on us here. So you know he was fired up. I don't know who he's talking to. I suppose this is good to hear from your head coach. I don't know that DJ Moore needed a message sent, did he?
No.
Did Cole Kmet need a message sent? I don't think this has anything to do with Cole Kmet's commitment to working hard and feeling competitive. This has to do with two guys in Colston Loveland and Luther Burden that have skill sets the Bears don't necessarily have in surplus on their roster. That was the reason these guys were taken. And if you want to big picture it, and he wants to say there is no depth chart, then that's the tone he has to set. That's the message that this whole new coaching staff has to carry. They're starting over, and they have a fresh set of eyes and a new approach, and everything about last year is last year. But I think that I like the idea of him starting over and going in there with no depth chart. I don't know how realistic it is, but we'll figure it out. There are a couple guys. How many of these rookies will contribute in a meaningful way? I mean, we'll get into some of the specifics later, but obviously the first two picks, if they don't factor into the passing game, I don't know why they were chosen where they were. But I think that's more just common sense and grasping the reality and taking advantage of guys who are on the board more than it was sending a message that, you know, okay, there is no depth chart. I don't think anybody really believes that.
Oh, boy. Good question.
Coach Dave Wannstedt's voice there. You'll hear more from him at 7:25. You can also watch that on Twitch. We evaluated the first round of the Bears draft on Friday. So how would you evaluate day two and day three? What was the best pick in those days, and which pick was the biggest reach?
Well, I look at day two and day three, and even you could lump day one in there if you want. I would never know. Nobody would ever know if you didn't read it in his bio that the Bears general manager played offensive tackle in college. You would never know that this was the work of a former offensive lineman. Because stereotypically, you would think that former offensive linemen, guys who went to college on scholarship for their ability to block and spend 4 years in the trenches, would want to build their football team from the ball on out. And that is certainly not what this general manager has done. This is his fourth draft. By the end of the show, I hope that somebody can define for me what his traits are as a drafter, as somebody who is as an architect of a football team. What blueprint is he working off of? Is it build from the ball on out, focus on the trenches, or is it go for skill and worry about the rest later? Or is it whatever I feel like on any given day and any given pick is a direction I'm going to go, because I operate by letting the board talk to me. You know what the board's saying to you? Grasp the obvious. Look at your depth chart. You should have one. So the overall draft, you're not upset about, but I do think it's very curious. The longer this went on Friday and Saturday, the more curious it became. So the best pick, I think when we look back in 5 years, the best pick is going to be Luther Burden III, because I do think he's the most dangerous. The biggest reach, I was surprised that they took Ozzie Trapillo from Boston College. When they need a left tackle, they drafted a guy who with better experience at right tackle, and he's big, and everyone says the same thing. He's tall, and he needs to get work on getting lower. But if he's not ready to play this season, then that will be a reach. And if he isn't ready to play this season, why did you take him in the second round? So, fair questions. It's early in the draft, but we're all going to have our initial reactions to these picks.
David, I think that was very well said, by the way. He's got to get this offensive line thing right at some point. And he went to BC, which it kind of bothered me a little bit. When you see a hype video or a highlight, I mean, there's some good stuff that they showed. They showed a matchup, his work against another higher draft pick. I saw a video about that. So it's good. The guy who I'm intrigued about, and part of it was I thought it was maybe the funniest line of the weekend, definitely the funniest comment out of a Bears drafted player's mouth, which was the whole idea of take their lunch money. And that's from Shamar Turner, Texas A&M. And we've been talking about, like, the Bears have needed that three technique guy for forever. This guy seems to mark all the boxes on that stuff. And he's into violence, likes to hit people.
In terms of the mentality?
Yeah. Right.
Not necessarily body type, but right. Mentality.
Mentality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's a guy that I think potentially, he's a guy that makes sense for what they brought in Grady Jarrett. He's not going to be here for more than 2 or 3 years. Like, this guy could learn from him and eventually become his replacement. And I think that's the kind of thing that we were talking about building the O-line, the D-line, depth and rotation. Obviously, rotation on the D-line. I think he fits that thing that we wanted when we started talking about this draft.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's really interesting to listen to a guy kind of explain how, hey, the draft is the draft and there are pockets in it and sometimes they don't match what you're doing. And I feel like with other draftmeisters, it's not about putting together the board and just showing great discipline. It's about manipulating the board and trying to get certain people out of it. I'm going to walk away with this guy and this guy and this guy. And you don't get the sense that that's something that he does. You don't get the sense that there is, as you say, kind of a Ryan Poles type of player. He just sort of takes what comes to him, and
I want to get back to that.
Yeah,
what that actually is.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting.
What is a Ryan Poles type of player?
Yeah,
it's year four.
Well, we should know that there should be a type of player, and unfortunately, I don't know that there is. I think that it's, it's not like the guy can't draft anyone, but it's also not like he's taken Pro Bowl talent every year in and year out. Now, he really needs to have done well with the 2024 draft. I think when all is said and done, he needs to have hit it out of the park with the quarterback and with the wide receiver. And if indeed these moves are going to make the quarterback a better player, which they probably will help that, and hiring the coach, etc. So if that is the idea behind it, that's great. But I don't know what I'm surprised by the offensive line pick. I just felt they had a chance to just stay where they were at and get a left tackle, and then maybe we'd feel differently about this draft. But we need to go into pick after pick and figure out exactly who this guy is and what he's looking for. It seems like he's looking for something out of the draft, but it's more kind of following the board he put together than it is manipulating it.
There's going to be a lot of questions on the draft process.
That, of course, is the voice of Ryan Poles. Are you satisfied by hearing GM Ryan Poles tell the media?
I mean, every draft has like just pockets that you just don't fall into.
Is this his way of explaining why the Bears came away with what they did and what they didn't over the crucial weekend of player procurement? What did the Bears miss out on, and how do you recommend they address the resulting problems?
You did a fine job with that question.
Too much alliteration?
That was excellent. Procurement. Who wrote that one?
One of us.
Me. No shot.
The whole pockets of the draft thing, right? I mean, I get it. I understand what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, yeah, you know, we would love to have had a left tackle, but they all went off the board. And you don't want to reach when you're getting your chance. But, I mean, I watched the draft too, you know, and when Luther Burden was there, that was the guy they clearly wanted. They had, like, the room blew up, okay? They really thought they couldn't believe they got the guy. They were all – and you know, you're watching it, and you're looking, and you're like, oh, you know, like, look who is on the phone talking. They're not getting a lineman here. They're not trying to get – you know, they got a wide receiver.
No, they're cooking with hot grease.
And there were like, I mean, it wasn't just hugs. It was like, you know, family reunions. Haven't seen you in 30 years. My God, you're still alive. It was really something special to witness. But I think, you know, I like the defensive tackle. I like that he's got an anger issue, and I like that he, you know what I mean?
If you're ever going to have a position with an anger issue, it's defensive tackle.
Exactly right. That's exactly what you want, you know? I wouldn't mind an angry offensive lineman either, and I don't know that they got one. But who knows? We'll see how it all works out. I find that a weak argument, frankly, that the pockets of the draft didn't matter. You know, listen, you got to get a running back out of this. You don't need a linebacker in that spot. You need a running back. Go get a running back. You got to get a running back out of this. You already took a linebacker. As much as you'd like to help out Al Harris, go get yourself a running back at
but
that
But he
point.
Texted him.
I don't
he
care.
He texted him in February.
You're not allowed.
Come on.
You're not allowed to avoid the positions you have to get because there's positions you had to get.
Does Dan Marchand not own a cell phone?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is he more at fault than Bienemy?
But I think if I understand it right, and that's always up for debate, they targeted a guy. That guy got picked right before them. Then instead of staying at that position, in this case, running back, let's say, they decide, well, we wanted that particular running back. That particular running back got picked right before we planned on picking him. So now we just got a phone call from the Bills again. And we're going to make another deal with them. I mean,
we had them on hold.
Right. Hold on, Bills. One second, please.
But we talked like for 2 days about the left tackle from Minnesota being the last one.
Yeah.
So when you got Luther Burden, and then you came right back, and instead of taking a left tackle,
that's who I'm going to keep an eye on.
Well, that's the problem.
That's it.
Instead of taking that player, you traded down, and then he was gone by the time you picked. And you knew he was going to be gone.
You knew he was going to go.
But that's the question. Like, but so did they not like him as much as we liked him?
That's got
to
be it.
You know what it has to be?
That's got
to
be it.
It has to be they had a little bit later round on him. Well, we could take him in the next round.
He wasn't in that pocket?
He wasn't in
different pocket.
It was a different cloud.
Different cloud.
The pocket didn't match the cloud. Like Polly Pockets wasn't in the cloud.
All right. So when you look at the Bears in the third round, and the, actually in the second round, you go back and you start when the Ohio State running backs came off the board. I do believe that probably affected the Bears' thought process. When Judkins and Trevion Henderson went within two picks of each other, that was the beginning of this pocket not providing what the Bears might have been looking for. We're assuming here.
Can I ask a question very quickly?
Yeah.
Along those lines, do you think every team in the draft knew exactly what the Bears were looking for at that spot?
Yes.
So that has to come into play as well.
I would think that probably did make the Patriots.
You're never going to get the pocket right if everyone knows what you're up to.
The Patriots get Trevion Henderson in the sixth pick of the second round, and Judkins goes to the Browns. So that I think, affected the thinking, and every team knows that you needed a left tackle and a running back. Heck, we've been talking about that for months. And then you look at, all right, well, third round. Well, they got out of the third round, and there goes Caleb Johnson. You're not picking him in the third round because the Steelers took him. Great pick. Great pick for the Steelers. And then you get into the fourth, and we start on Saturday. I think when they saw Cam Scatterbug go to the Giants at the third pick of the fourth round, they probably regretted not moving ahead of them. They probably did at some point in time.
Sweetheart, get me rewrite.
Get me the Bills.
Sweetheart, get me the Buffalo
Bills. Get me the Bills, because they are out of luck at that point. So these pockets are not just pockets you fall into. You've got to be able to stitch your own pocket.
You create
yes.
pockets.
Yes. You get out your sewing machine, you get out the spool of thread, and you stitch your own pocket.
Yeah. Next question.
Like that.
How about a hot pocket? Are we throwing the word?
No, I'm hungry.
Stud.
Around haphazardly these days at Hallis Hall. Number one pick Colston Loveland used it to describe quarterback Caleb Williams. Head coach Ben Johnson used it to describe second rounder wide receiver Luther Burden III. Shouldn't such a word be preserved for a guy like the 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That only applies to Kyle Shanahan?
He's a stud.
Kyle Shanahan's got a quarterback situation on his hands out there. That stud, he's going to have to be one. So I thought Luther Burden was a dog, not a stud. I thought he said he was a dog. Like Jameson Williams, who came from East St. Louis as well, he texted Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson got a text from Jameson Williams from the Lions and said, "You got yourselves a dog like me." So if he's like Jameson Williams, the Bears have themselves something special. Luther Burden can be a special player. Stud, dog, he's a problem. Let's agree on that. He's going to be a problem for defenses. I hope he plays a ton of snaps. How are they going to get everyone on the field at the same time? They got all these receivers. They got all these guys. They got a dog and a stud.
Yeah, it's a way overused word. I didn't mind it. You want the tight end. You want the first pick to come in and say that he's excited to play with last year's number one pick, and that's fine. I feel like the head coach had to use as many positive words on Burden III because that was clearly his pick. Like, that was clearly
Dustin,
the guy he wanted.
This was clearly his draft.
Yeah, the first two picks were all
this
his.
Was clearly the Ben Johnson draft.
No question.
See, I brought to you by Ryan Poles.
I think with all due respect,
okay,
and I haven't been confliction so far this morning. But I think once we got past Saturday, like later on Saturday after you guys got off the air, I think that's when it turned to the Ryan Poles
draft.
Well,
that's when the scouts take over.
Right.
Well, that's what, but I'm saying.
But drafts are usually defined by your first three rounds.
Right, but I'm saying, but I think it then took a very sharp turn. There were a couple of times things I picked up on social media where, like, Ben, like, looks over and glares at him when he gets into the whole pocket thing, right? And like, there were, I just felt like, we're not going to, you know, we have our board, we're going to trust our board, and Ben, like, kind of, you know, glances over at him like, oh, okay.
Because we got to get back to cooking with hot grease.
I thought you would be particularly enamored of that word since you've obsessed over it for so long.
Well, I think you used it incorrectly on that coach.
Well, you know, that was about 5 years ago now, while
at
Dustin
least.
Was bad-mouthing the future. I don't even think he was the head coach at that point.
It's hard to call him a stud when he couldn't hold on to the lead against the Patriots. I mean, that was where it all came from.
Guy's pretty good coach.
It's all right.
Yeah. You're talking about when he was an offensive coordinator.
Correct, with the Falcons, yes.
Yeah, and I dismissed what you said by saying he's a stud. And you taunted me for how long? Till now. So that's why this came back when everyone's now throwing the word stud around like everyone gets to say it, okay? So I'm making a point. I do think that Caleb Williams needs to be a stud, and I think Luther Burden III needs to be a stud too. If the Bears have a couple of studs that can make the Pro Bowl, then the Bears are going to be significantly better. This will improve them quite a bit. And the quarterback will get a lot better the more players make plays after the catch. And if you got a poor man's Debo Samuel as opposed to the actual Debo Samuel, I'll take it and run like a thief in the night.
Wow. You know, it's a scary good question, right?
Voice of Bruce Levine. He's with you guys at 825 to talk about the Cubs and the Sox. How surprising was it that Craig Counsell was so blunt when discussing Ben Brown?
You know, we need better, frankly. And, you know, to be a starter, you know, it's the length in the game that we need more from. You know, and whether it's, you know, kind of pitches in within innings that kind of get you in trouble, or an inning like today, you know, as a starter, you got to be able to navigate and kind of limit damage, give up runs. Yeah, it's going to happen, but you got to be able to navigate the damage to get your way into games.
Is that the right approach with a young pitcher? Is Counsell more direct this year?
I really liked hearing that from Craig Counsell. You know why? Because he's correct. Because what he's saying is exactly right. You know, Ben Brown has got a very bright future, but they need it to arrive sooner than maybe he's ready to deliver it. I think he's a really good pitcher who can do some really good things. But everything the council said is absolutely correct. You got to be able to trust him. You got to be able to give him the ball, and he's got to go, and he's got to keep going. And I think there is nothing wrong with challenging him, and making sure he knows what the standard is and where the bar is set. I don't know that I love it at a news conference, but I'm hopeful they have these conversations, and he's telling them that. Hey, listen, we need you. We need you to step up and to take the ball and to pitch the way you pitched that one time. Do that every time. And I think that it's a fair thing for a manager to say. Again, I hope he's saying it to him in person.
I think they want Ben Brown to be now the third best pitcher on this team. And just he started that inning off by hitting Kyle Schwarber and then a bunch of singles. Now, the other day, we were giving him crap, and I was right there doing it, about the fact that he was walking too many guys. Like, put the ball down. So, you know, he had five Ks. He only had the one walk, but the hit by the pitch. A bunch of singles. But how about after the game last night? And speaking to the second part of this question about him being more direct this
year.
I mean, I wanted him DFA'd or sent down to the minors last week. And Bruhan last night, I mean, do you understand what's going on?
No, he did not.
He did not. And he said he's got to go after the ball.
He's got to attack the ball.
He took a step back.
Yes.
And then he
doubled. Who was running, Dustin? Who was running?
Very fast Trey Turner.
Yes, exactly.
Right. You got to know. And you got a guy in third base.
So, I know.
I mean, what are you doing?
I watched it.
What are you doing?
You're losing the game.
At that point, what should he have done? He should have, since he took the step back, he should have looked the runner back at third. That's what he should have done. Should have looked.
Bases were loaded.
Huh?
I think the bases were loaded.
No. Were they loaded?
Yeah.
Well, then he should have went home.
He should have done something.
Yeah, not taking a step back.
Okay, so this is about Craig Counsell being more direct. I think, yes, Ben Brown needs a third pitch. Ben Brown's going to be an asset to the Cubs. When he develops that third pitch, he's going to be a nasty starting pitcher. Right now, he's got two pitches. They work pretty well, but I don't think against a team like the Phillies, you can have little mistakes. They turn into big innings, and that's a problem. But I love, maybe I'm just paying more attention. I love this version of Craig Counsell. This is the version of Craig Counsell they brought from Milwaukee that I think we were waiting for all last season. This is Craig Counsell. Matter of fact, look you in the eye and tell you the truth. This is Craig Counsell saying Ben Brown's got to be better. And this is after last night's loss, saying that Bruhan played it wrong. And yet another third base mistake cost the Cubs in a game that was close. This is a problem, Jed Hoyer. This is a problem, Carter Hawkins. You think that Craig Counsell's honest with us? I hope that he's as honest and direct with his bosses, because they got to fix the third base problem.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 8 a.m. this morning with Mully and Haw. What do you think of the White Sox skipper Will Venable using a opener for one inning, three games in a row? Starters, Davis Martin, Jonathan Cannon, and Sean Burke took over from then. Cannon, in particular, responded with his best outing of the season. Are the Sox on to something?
All right, we're short on time. If they're ever going to experiment, this is the season to do it. You know what? Davis Martin and Jonathan Cannon responded well to coming in the second inning. Is it an anxiety thing? I think it's worth exploring when we talk to Bruce, when we talk to Stoney next, maybe even Ozzie. The Sox, if they're going to stick to this, it's going to be fascinating to see if they are definitely tapping into something that other teams haven't consistently, and how long they're going to go this route.
It's odd. It's just it odd, right? Yeah. I mean, it's odd.
Yeah, I don't think it's odd. I think it's wise. I think that their problem is with their bullpen. So where the anxiety is with the guys that are opening the game. It's more of it's just get through one inning. They're obviously in their own heads when they're trying. I don't think this has to do with the starting pitching. I think it has to do with the bullpen. And I think you're using openers as a way of putting them into less
shortening
stressful
the game
situations. Then the starter comes in and can go their length, and then you get you know, they don't have like a proper bullpen in terms of setting up 7, 8, 9. So this is a way of kind of, as you say, shortening the game, getting more innings out of their starters by stealing one in the first inning. I thought it was really bright and really good, and I'm still sitting here right now looking, waiting to see when Tim Elko was brought up, because that guy's hit 5 home runs
Bring
in the last
up.
Week.
Bring him up.
And he hit 2 yesterday.
Yep.
And they got a guy that can't bat his weight that hit into a bad double play yesterday. They need to score runs.
I hear you.
Why don't they bring that guy up? That's my White Sox thought.
By tomorrow.
Extra Point is by last week. Extra Point is next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Set up this Extra Point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What letter grade would you give the Bears for their 8-player draft? Now, how much better do you believe they are as a team? And what is your projected record? Wow. For the 2025 season.
My projected record for the Bears is 9-8 before we even see the schedule, which is released May 14th, and when they play, who they play, which matters, I think. But 9-8 right now. I want to be fair with this draft, evaluating it, because I think grades are very difficult to give out 3 days later just because you haven't seen them in pads yet. And certainly that goes for every team and every pick, but this is what we do. So I would say B-. B minus, because I feel like there's too much curiosity and a little much creativity and not enough sure things. Now, when you talk about the first couple picks, I love the possibility of Colston Loveland, and I love the possibility of Luther Burden in this offense. Luther Burden compared to Deebo Samuel is unbelievable if that happens. And we could look back and he could be the most dynamic player in this draft. Colston Loveland, I think, is going to be a Pro Bowl tight end. I think he's going to get open and find ways to be a star in this offense. I think that was a very good pick. Both qualify to me under the category of luxury items, though. So for me, this draft moving through after those first two picks, a little too much dessert. Not enough meat and potatoes. I think when you went into this draft, you knew what you needed. You needed to be fed. You needed to be nourished. And you needed to have your offense get a running back and a left tackle. Now, this could all be a moot point and sound like it's overly critical. If Ozzie Trapillo ends up being a better right tackle than Braxton Jones is a left tackle, then possibly you move Darnell Wright to left tackle and you get an offensive line of some pedigree and certainly that you can work with. I don't know if that's in the plans or not. But if there is no depth chart, it's got to be among the possibilities. Because if you draft a tackle in the second round, the idea would be to play him. How often did we say those second round picks have to be ones that are starters? So, a few too many questions for me to go any higher than B minus.
I think B minus is the perfect grade, David, for the Bears draft. B minus. I do think, though, that Colston Loveland and Luther Burden III will be playing quite a bit next year. I also expect Turner to play quite a bit, be in a rotation. I don't know that you have any quote-unquote starters per se, but if we believe Ben Johnson, there is no depth chart right now, except, I guess, QB1. That's the only guy who supposedly doesn't have to worry about his job. We always love to joke about this, but the road schedule for the Bears is tough on paper. Their away schedule, outside of the obvious games in the division, they are at the Ravens, they are at the Bengals, they are at the world champion Eagles, 49ers, Raiders, and the Commanders. I think I can go 10-7. But that's about as far as I can go right now today. 10-7. First time we're picking the 2025.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's interesting when we start talking about drafts, because everybody knows that it is going to take years. And I mean minimum probably 3 years you give a team to see if they did okay in the draft. And yet we're forced to give out grades and we're forced to figure out what I would say. If I had to give him a grade, I would probably give him a B, because everybody gets a B because everybody had a big win. And I don't know that anybody is really looking at what they needed to fill and how they could have filled it. Like, we could sit down and we could come up with another version of the draft where we would maybe take an edge early, maybe get the offensive tackle as fast as possible. Maybe, I don't know. But we certainly would have taken different positions. So I think you got to be fair about it, and you got to say that you hired a new coach. You want him to be able to flex and run his offense. He got the first two picks are his. He got two really bad matchups for opposing defenses. And we'll see if the matchups are as bad for the Bears offensive line, or if they could have been better there. And I don't know why they didn't wind up with a running back earlier in the draft. That's a mystery wrapped in an enigma. But I think that, there'll be a couple of players that Ozzie Trapillo, how do you pronounce that?
Trapillo.
Trapillo is a very important player out of this draft, because that is now, other than the right tackle, he's the highest drafted offensive lineman on this team. That's a big draft pick, so he should be able to play. And the thing about offensive linemen is they don't share time. They actually start, and that's it. Defensive guys, they can share time. You can bring in waves of those type of linemen. And it'll be very interesting to see how we feel about this by the end of the year. I'm with you, David. I think they have to have a winning season. I think that we've seen enough losing. I think the way they lost last year was because of mismanagement. And I expect them to be a better football team. We don't know. We know who they play. We don't know what time they play them, when they play them. And we know who they play and where they play them, but we got to see how that matches together as well. But I think the Bears have a chance to be a winning team, to win more games than they lose. And that's all that we're asking for. It doesn't seem like a lot, given how awful they have been over the last few years. So hopefully the coach does his wonders with the quarterback and the new weapons help, and they win more than they lose. That would be a miracle. 312-644-6767, Mullion Hall on the score.
Here's the 2-2. There is 1,000 strikeouts for Jamison Tyone. He came into the game with 999 and didn't waste any time. He strikes out the leadoff man, Bryson Stott, and they're going to throw that ball off the field for the trophy case of Jamison Tyone.
That is the Great Clip of the Week, brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's gonna be great.
J-Mo, he deserved better.
Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He deserved better.
He pitched a really good game.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, so did Aaron Nola. And it wasn't his fault that they lost the game, but unfortunately, they lost the game in extra innings. There wasn't a lot you could say about that in terms of what he managed to do. And that's a hard luck start for him.
Hard luck start. PCA hit a ball he thought was gone. I think everyone thought was gone. Maybe got caught in the wind. It was a double instead of a home run. Might have changed things a little bit in a game where the Cubs only get three hits, nationally televised on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. And then the bullpen comes in. Ryan Pressly, first appearance since he got his knee drained. A little shaky, but he got through it. Shaky because Castellanos hit a ball that would have been a home run.
It looked like it was a home run.
I think they said in Boston and Houston that would have been a homer. In Wrigley, it was a long out.
Yeah.
It was shaky, though. And so the Cubs lose 2 out of 3. They lose a series.
Don't you like him?
Who?
Castellano.
Oh, yeah. Always liked him.
I mean, always liked him.
Always liked him.
Always a
he
really
hits really
good
well
hitter.
At Wrigley Field.
Yeah, great hitter.
Really good guy to have.
Right.
He's definitely a presence in the clubhouse. He's a definite, consistent player. Good enough defensively. Yeah, I think he's
– good player.
You miss Schwarber more than you miss Castellanos, but both were good Cubs.
Yeah, no question about
Schwarber,
it.
Schwarber, at times, a great Cub.
A legendary, right?
He's a legend.
Yeah, no question.
Did you see the little
– mythological.
They had the – yes. Well, they don't win the World Series without him, so yes, that guy – and I love that when they interviewed him on the field, he mentioned that. He mentioned being – you know, connected to that 2016 team. Sure. I know Dustin probably saw that, and every Cub fan saw that and had pangs of nostalgia.
Tear in their eye.
I also like when they had the welcome back Kyle sign in their animation. ESPN had like Wrigley Field and everything, and had a little sign, welcome back Kyle. That was fun. How did you think about Kyle Tucker being compared to Ted Williams?
I didn't think it was appropriate.
Did you know that his swing was used in the documentary? I did not know that.
Listen, I got a lot of time for Kyle Tucker. I think that he is the real deal, and I think they need to keep him. Period, end of story. Whatever else they do, you can't have a year like they're having because of the year he's having, and then at the end of it say, oh, but, you know, we'll get a pitcher, or we'll get someone else. No, you won't. You've got one of the best players in the game there in his prime, and you need to keep him, period, end of story.
He didn't say anything one way or another that would lead us to believe he was leaning one way or another.
That's kind of who he is, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. And it's April 28th.
Yeah, still early.
Still early.
All right, we got a lot to get to. We're going to talk about the draft, but we're going to also have Coach Wanstead come in here in a little bit. We'll get to talk to him. We're going to have our guy Biggs. We got a really big day planned for you. And we'll continue the conversation via the Bears draft next. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.